Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the show that doesn't do fluff, filters, or feel-good fairy tales. We bring you the real stories behind the mic, the setbacks, the pivots, the mindset shifts, and how public speaking became the megaphone for growth, purpose, and serious business wins. So today's guest, oh man, buckle up, because this one doesn't tiptoe around the truth. You know those moments in life that punch you in the gut, steal your breath, and dare you to get back up? Marcus Ogden didn't just get back up, he came back swinging. From the NFL to cleaning toilets at 4:30 a.m. to building an empire rooted in authenticity, Marcus has lived the full arc of reinvention. His spoiled milk moment that you're going to hear about became the launch pad for a brand built on truth storytelling and showing others how to lead with integrity, not ego. Today, he's a top-ranked speaker, a business coach, a brand ambassador, and the host of Get Authentic with Marcus Ogden, a podcast that's all about cutting the BS and getting real. He's been featured by Forbes, USA Today, and even MSN's top 10 business speakers alongside Magic Johnson and Tony Robbins. But none of that matters more than the impact he's making, helping others rise, speak, and lead with purpose. We're diving into how he built a speaking business from rock bottom, why storytelling is the most underrated leadership skill, and how you can start turning your mess into your message right now. Marcus Ogden, welcome to the spotlight.
Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for having me on.
I love it. I'm so excited to have this conversation. And I hate it that we have limited time, so I'm going to get right to it. You know, I always love to start with the why, though, and start with how it all started. So please take us back. The NFL certainly gets everybody's attention. But talk to us about where it all kind of began. And then, you know, I love to hear about the stumbling blocks that actually are what bring you to where you are today. I think it's always helpful for people to hear, but you have a fascinating story. So
thank you, Kelly. So I am from Washington, D.C. I was raised in a single parent household. Our father, Cheryl Philip Ogden, raised both my brother, Jonathan, and myself as a single dad when my parents divorced in 1988. Both my brother and I are both retired NFL athletes. My brother's actually in the NFL Hall of Fame. So we were around football our entire life. I went to Howard University, the Bison. I'll kind of come back to that in a moment. And my dad also went to Howard University. He was a Bison. So the legacy continued between father to son. I had a phenomenal career at Howard as an athlete playing football. I got drafted into the National Football League in 2003 by the Jacksonville Jaguars. My head coach was Jack Del Rio. And I'll tell your audience the exact same thing Jack told us when I was a 22-year-old rookie. If you want to be successful in life, you have to be your own CEO, your own chief executive officer. Or as people say today, get in the game and do it. You can't be the champion of your own life sitting ringside at the fight. You got to get in the ring and fight for what you want. And I was very blessed to have a 6-year career in the NFL, got out of the NFL, and I struggled immensely, Kelly, with addiction, gambling, nightlife issues, just all kinds of things, trying to get my life back together. My father passed away. Football was no longer an option. I had to start over from rock bottom in that moment. Didn't know what to do. I had financial resources, but I didn't have direction, purpose. I didn't have, you know, that passion, like what to do next. Finally, Kelly, I got into construction and I built Kaden Premier Enterprises, we became approximately at our height a $25 million a year company. And unfortunately, as the company grew, my internal desire to be the best, the king, always right, ego took over. And I ended up losing, Kelly, everything I owned in 2013 because my ego got bigger than King Kong. You couldn't tell me anything. I was always right. If you didn't agree with me, I was going to fire you. I was a total narcissist and I was a total individual who cared about nobody but himself. And I ended up losing everything, home, cars, money, credit cards, you name it, stripped from me. I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina in 2013. When I got here, I had 177 creditors on my bankruptcy docket, over $5.5 million of debt, and I had only $400 to my name. I was so broke, Kelly, I couldn't even pay my bankruptcy off. I had to pay it in installments. I almost went homeless at that time. Thank goodness the NFL, through the Gene Upshaw Trust Fund, it paid 4 months of my bills to my creditors, my rent, my car, our health insurance. And I was working trying to get my life back together. I was at Merrill Lynch. I got fired from that job after 2 months, went to a construction company, got fired from that job 5 days later. So I got fired twice in the same week. The only job I could get, other than trying to teach kids football, I became a custodian. And I worked in downtown Raleigh for $8.25 an hour from 10 p.m. until 5 a.m. And at that moment, I acknowledged what was going on in my life. I was aware that I was bankrupt. I was cognizant that things weren't going my way, but I didn't accept it. So I was aware, and that's what we call you have to, where I was acknowledging. In order to move past something, Kelly, you have to accept it, take ownership and responsibility. I didn't do that until I hit rock bottom in 2013, September, as a custodian, when I had my spoiled milk moment, when somebody's trash, rotten meat, nasty, protruding, horrible smelling garbage got all over me. And when that happened, that was my accepting moment or my wake up call. And that was me saying, I'm at rock bottom and nobody is coming with a limo with to open the door with a chauffeur's hat on. No horse is coming with a knight on it. Nobody's coming to get me off this curb. If I want to get off this curb, I have to do it myself. And that was the moment I hit rock bottom. And I started to turn my life around. And what I say in my talks today, right, Kelly? One of my favorite quotes is by J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series. Rock
Sure.
bottom is the moment that I rebuilt my life. J.K. Rowling, that's her quote. And I use that because that's what happened to me. I started speaking in September 2013. Things didn't happen. I didn't get a paid job for 2.5 years. Got my first paid job in April 2016, got my second paid job in 2017, but I still didn't have a business. I was a person out there speaking just because. I wasn't a keynote speaker. I was, like I tell people, I was a former football player trying to speak. Today, I'm a keynote speaker that's a former NFL athlete. It's a business. Branding, marketing, sales, ops, finance. It's a structure. It's a business. And finally, in 2018, I met Mel Robbins and I went on her audiobook, Kick Ass with Mel. And from there, I got coached at NAPSA, National Athletic Professional Success Academy. Once those things happened, once I became aware of how to use my talk, communicate, build relationships, be of value. From 2018 to the present, we've spoken, Kelly, for over 75 Fortune 500 brands. We have done countless jobs in healthcare, finance, real estate, mortgages, tech. I'm a five-time best-selling author. I'm a coach. I'm a consultant. I have a podcast called Get Authentic with Marcus Ogden, the top 0.5% most popular podcast worldwide. So if you want to build a speaking business, understand this: treat yourself like a pro. You're not doing this as an individual trying to just, do it for kicks. If you want to build a speaking business, treat yourself like a pro. And when you do that, then everything else will start to open up from there.
I love that you shared so much about your journey and how tough it was, because resilience is such a critical element to this. And I always love when people will share the, I call it in my world, and I've always called it the this and no more. When you describe it like, this is it. I've hit rock bottom and there's nowhere to go but down, there's nowhere down below me anymore. I've hit it. And you start to make the turn, but what I love about your story is it wasn't instantaneous. It didn't happen right away. It's now the exploration is, okay, I'm gonna come back. What am I gonna do, and how am I gonna do it, and who do I need to go to get help? And I think that is such a critical thing, because it's not overnight, and that's where that resilience is so powerful. And don't you think that you needed to go through some of that in order for you to become who you are today? I mean, isn't that really the linchpin here, is that you had to have those really tough experiences in order to reinvent yourself in such a powerful way so that you could share with other people?
Kelly, I heard this. So I'm in Las Vegas right now. I speak tomorrow for a big conference, Agent Brokers United. Our brand is the opening keynote speaker for the entire conference. One of the other speakers, Billy Williams, said this to me on the bus this morning, getting ready to go out to play golf. There's no testimony without a test. You have to go through something to get to the other side. People see Elon Musk's success, or Jeff Bezos, or Bill Gates, or Steve Jobs when he was alive. All those people have a season that you probably haven't seen, of hardship, of negativity, of doubt, of despair. It's part of your journey. It's part of your testimony. Without going through something, how can you help others that are going through similar situations? You can't. You can maybe read a book or something like that, but that's not the same thing. I tell our clients, hire me so you don't end up like the 2013 version of me. Broke, bankrupt, hating life, blaming everybody else, acknowledging things in his life, but not accepting them.
Fascinating, really. I really appreciate your journey. And in the end, it turns out it's not about you. Like, the ego is so controlling in so many ways. But when you figure out, you know what, it's really not all about you. You take that experience and use it to transform your own life and then somebody else's. That is just so much more powerful. I love the fact that you've built this platform that's more than just about motivation. It's really about practical, transformational leadership. What do you think the driving force is behind Ogden Ventures? And what really is the impact that you want to have?
So the driving force is to inspire people to take accountability. That's our driving force, to help more people accept things in their life and not just acknowledge them. Because acknowledgement is not enough to create the life that you want for yourself. And what we really want to do with our impact, we want to just help people understand three things are going to make them have the life that they want for themselves: their environment, their input, their associations. Who or where are you? Like, environment, where are you? What are you looking at? What are you seeing? Like, what's coming into your stratosphere? Input, what are you watching? What are you listening to? That's big. And then associations, Who are you hanging around? Are you hanging around people that are going to make you better, lift you up, move you to the next level? Are you hanging around people that are going to be negative, bring you down, always complain, always want something, but not want to do the work to get it? So we really want to impact people to help them create the life they want for themselves. But I have a saying, knowledge is power. But applying knowledge is life-changing. If you want to actually become something great, you can't just hear about it or take it in. You got to actually start doing the actions to move towards greatness in your life.
I've listened to you. You've said that the cultural enhancement and inclusion is really critical for effective, leadership. How do you help businesses these days go from kind of just checking the box to truly walking the talk on that subject, especially because it's such a hot topic right now?
So, Kelly, that's a fantastic question. What we tell leaders is you have to master these three things. Number one, you have to master attributes over skills. As a leader, you have to be the individual that people know when times get hard or times get tough, you're not going to quit. And so, for a culture to have that type of feeling, that type of atmosphere, it comes from leaders who are strong internally, not just doing things externally. I can tell you all types of things to do outside, skills this, competencies that, but that's not enough. I gotta know inside of you when you have hardship or when things get hard, you're not gonna buckle under the pressure. You're not gonna collapse. You're not gonna start playing the blame game. The second thing as a leader to create the type of a culture, move your horizons. Challenges, obstacles are part of the journey. I have this saying, embrace the good, the bad, the ugly, the calm, the beautiful of life. It's not going to always be great days. It's not going to always be roses and rainbows. That's not what life is. I'm having a great week this week. Last week, it was tough. It was hard. It was difficult because I bring in new staff, new people, challenges, getting them onboarded, working through things, putting people in right places, right? But I tell people, if a challenge is there in front of you, if you just look at the whole big picture and you don't try to do things systematically or break them down, moving your horizons, right, Kelly, means breaking down challenges into small, manageable action steps. You can't try to see the whole big problem and say, oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, then what happens then? Your brain gets overwhelmed. Our brain is not designed to make us happy. That's our job. Your brain says, I'm here to keep you alive. If you feed it negativity or stress, it's going to do what? It's going to start to shut down because, like, this is coming here, this is coming. And then it just starts to get like, it's just too much. So move your horizons, break things down to manageable steps. And the third thing is learn to embrace dynamic subordination. As a leader, you do not know everything. You talk to me about speaking, coaching, consulting, I'm your guy. PowerPoints, I'm not your person. Go to Dawn on our team. Website, I'm not your person. Go to George on our team. Video work, I'm not your person. Go to Donovan on our team, right? How to scale through funnels and all that, I'm not your person. Go to either Ryan on our team or Victor, my partner. Leaders have to embrace the fact that they do not know it all. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. So when you're a leader that brings these different elements into your organization, the culture becomes one people like, okay, they feel like they are part of the victor or victory mentality versus feeling like they're part of the victim or I didn't do something right mentality.
And I agree with you so much. And the power of great leadership is really about empowering the people around you. It's not about you being the top dog who can do everything. It's about sharing it, isn't it? I mean, it's about being part of a team and acknowledging your team. You do a keynote called The Ego Mistake, from 8 figures to 825 an hour. and it talks about your transformative journey. But tell us a little bit more about it and give us a little piece of this, a good tease on this, of what you really want to, what's the message that you want to get across?
That's a great question, Kelly. So to us, our brand, ego, exaggerated, glorified opinions. That's when your mind, when your desire to be the best and always be right and always show everybody up comes out and rears its ugly head. And I tell people that's what caused us, our company, Caden Premier Enterprises, our construction company, to go down, because I had to just always be right. I had to always be, what I was doing, Kelly, I was operating from what I call the personality ethics. Things like rage, wrath, envy, anger. I was constantly afraid that people would find out I knew absolutely nothing about construction. I knew nothing about it. I just had a lot of luck. I got a good partner. I had great hires, but I was the face of the company. And in reality, I was literally the most uneducated person in the room. And instead of accepting that and learning how to remove myself and let our team do the work, I acknowledged that, which means I didn't really accept it. So I just constantly was living in a place of like, if people find out I don't know anything, they're going to hire us. They're going to like us. So I just acted out. I'm almost 6'6". So I just acted out like this big, scary individual. Don't come close to me because in reality, Kelly, I didn't want you to find out I knew nothing. Instead, what I should have done, fired myself as the CEO, got a real CEO that knew construction, new leadership, knew everything, and just been the owner and shut up and let somebody else, again, embrace dynamic subordination. I should have fired myself, put somebody in that seat that was way more qualified, been the owner, shadowed them, learned the business. We'd be fine. But what happened? Again, right, Kelly? I didn't treat myself like a pro. I treated the business as something just to make money, not something that was going to be sustainable. And eventually it caught up with me and I crashed and burned.
And in the end, when you look at it, really, that's what's supposed to have happened. There was an experience there that needed to be had. And if you hadn't been through that, if you hadn't gone into it with that perspective, if it hadn't happened, you wouldn't have changed your perspective, because people change what doesn't work. So sometimes those are the greatest lessons, even if they're painful, they're powerful, because it forces you to look at things from a different perspective. And then the game goes on and the game grows. It gets better. You talk a lot about storytelling, and I know you're a great storyteller, but you say it's a non-negotiable skill for leaders. What advice do you give people who don't think they have a story? I mean, you have an absolutely solid, interesting story with an incredible arc, and it's got lots of roads within that arc. But what do you tell the people that you deal with and that you coach that say, by comparison, I got no story. There's nothing really interesting about me. How am I going to create a story out of this?
That's a great question, Kelly. Everybody has a story. But here's the catch. Here's the kicker. Very few of us are authentic, vulnerable, and real enough to share it. We all have a story. We all have been through something. We all have had to overcome an obstacle. Why is Rocky Balboa, which started in the 1970s, why do we now have it going to be looking at making a Creed 4 in 2020s? Because everybody loves the comeback story. But the problem is, person that sometimes is telling that story, they think, well, I'm gonna get judged. They're going to talk about me. They're going to make me a leper. They're gonna make me some outcast. And you know what? If that's what they do, that's on them. People are going to judge you regardless of what you do, what you say. So you might as well be real. Kelly, this is how Alexander the Great defeated Darius III of Persia in ancient times. His teacher was Aristotle. Aristotle taught Alexander the Great the importance of storytelling, or he called it metaphors, and getting to the point with passion and energy to have the men have a reason to follow him. Alexander was 21 years old when he took over as king of Macedon. 21. They had limited resources. Get this, Kelly, 150 million people at that time were under the rule of Persia. 150 million people were under Persia's rule by Darius III. And Darius III lost to a little king named Alexander the Great because Alexander the Great did something that Darius could never do. Alexander got the loyalty of his men, not the love, the loyalty. And that's storytelling. Great quote by Dr. Stephen Covey. Business moves at the speed of trust. When people trust you, they want to work with you. How do they get to trust you? You got to connect with them. How do you do it? Through storytelling. What's great storytelling have? Real, vulnerable, raw emotion. People buy with emotion first, and they justify it with logic. But that's how Alexander the Great, a little bitty king in a small Macedon, Greece, defeated Darius III, who had over half of the world's population under his rule. That's storytelling.
Truly is, and it's cyclical. These things happen, throughout time. You have these wonderful stories of people who have overcome and created incredible results, usually based on, truly showing great leadership. So that's a really good story. Now, talking about leadership, you're launching the Inner Game community. You need to tell us all about that and who's it really for and why is it your current passion?
Inner Game Community was formed to give people of like mind a place to network, collaborate, and inspire. It's a free organization where people come in and just get to hear what we're doing, right, Kelly? Every week, we bring in an expert. Like today, we had James Sweezy, who went from homeless to millionaire. He was a heroin addict, an alcoholic, all these things. Went through an addiction treatment plan, facility, a program, turned his life around. And now he's one of three individuals that own six addiction treatment facilities in five states with over 600 employees. And every week we bring an expert to the community to be interviewed to give our audience insight to great stories, how to build your business, how to do more marketing, how to use digital marketing, how to run ads, all these things. Then we have the Inner Game Scale Room, which is a paid room where we bring in experts to do teachings around action steps. Like we had Brian Salee yesterday, who sold his company to Hewlett Packard for $180 million. He was literally about to go bankrupt and lose it all. And his dad said, "Brian, you do this in your business. Why aren't you doubling down? Why aren't you focusing just on this?" And he was like, "Dad, that's brilliant." And he went from struggling, about to lose everything, to 5 years later, over 800 employees, and sold his company for $180 million to Hewlett Packard. So those are the type of people we bring to the community scale room and the Inner Game community. That's the free portion. It's all about educating our group and giving them hope. When I met Mel Robbins, I was a struggling, very unsuccessful, very non-business-like speaker. Mel gave me hope. And that's when I learned for the first time, motivation is garbage. Inspiration is everything. Mel breathed life into me to help me to see I could do more than what I was doing. And once I got that, life took off. So again, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about that perspective. So our communities, Kelly, are designed to help breathe hope, life, inspiration into our members to help them be fulfilled and achieve serenity and peace in their life.
You know, that's a powerful example of, getting with the right coach. No matter how great you think you are, there's somebody better out there to help you along the way, Mel Robbins being one of yours. And now now doing this show and the Inner Game community, I have a question for you. You only, really these days, 1% of podcasts survive beyond like six episodes. That's crazy, isn't it? They quit. People quit. What's the biggest myth about podcasting that you're ready to call out?
It's
You've been really
not
successful.
gonna happen overnight. Kelly, I don't know why, and you must have a magic ball right there on your desk. I'm actually posting tomorrow. We have just published our 600th episode. That's coming
That's
out
impressive.
tomorrow. And that's what it is. It's like anything else. Darren Hardy says it best. There's two magic factors to your success: consistency and you. You're the only constant wherever you go. You're the only constant in any situation. So you have to be consistent. You have to do the work. People start a podcast. Oh my God, I only got five downloads on the first one. Oh my God, nobody's listening to my podcast. Oh my goodness, I have no 5-star rating. I have no reviews. I'm 10 in. Where is everybody? Where are the million downloads? Where's my audience? Where's this? Where I'm like, what do you expect? There are over 4 million podcasts in the world at any given time. And it's growing because people have this myth, this misconception. You start a podcast, money's flowing in.
No, it
Nine.
doesn't work like that. It's the long game. This is not fast. If you're getting into the business of podcasting just to make money, unless you have something so incredibly unique and some great connections, it's not going to make you money quickly. It takes a while. How long did it take you before it, and how many episodes did you get in before it started becoming successful financially?
It took us 9 months to a year to get our first podcast sponsor, which was right around episode 80, give or take, somewhere around
So
there.
that's so helpful for everybody to hear. I get more people that say, I want to start a podcast and YouTube is paying this much money and it's going to be great. And I really have to sit them down and say, listen, long game. You really have to build this out and decide why you're doing it. What's your message? What are you going to be consistent about? Who are the people you're going to draw? There's a lot of factors to this. And I think the great place to start is becoming good at what you do. Being the host is a skill set, and you
Kelly,
need to be six, you need to really focus on getting the most out of your guests, giving the most to your guests, setting them up for success. Then you can focus on the audience, but take care of your guests first. They're here, they're making your show.
without good guests, you have no podcasts. So if you don't take care of the guests, if you get this reputation as a podcast host who wants to talk about what you want to talk about, you're trying to just do it for the downloads or for the following, and people get wind of that, you will not get guests of any premium quality, and you won't get any guests that are going to share their episode on their platform. And that's the
Yes.
key to building your podcast, getting your guests in the beginning, high quality guests that have a following that are going to share that episode with their following, not just your own.
That's everything. That is completely everything. You want to take good care of that guest. That guest can't wait to share your episode with their audience. If you made them look good, if you were considerate of them, if you really cared about what they had to say and you asked them interesting questions, I hear from a lot of people that They have experienced such a horrible experience, they don't even want to do any more podcasts. And that's sad because it's such a wonderful platform. It's an intimate platform. Don't you feel like once, I feel like once you're on and you're on with me, people have a real feel for you after spending 45 minutes with you. They like you or they don't like you, or they like what you have to say and they want more of it. I think that's so critical. So you are absolutely fabulous to have as a guest today.
Well, thank you, Kelly. And again, I'm gonna back up exactly what you said. People get to know you in that time that you're on somebody else's podcast, and then you're getting in front of their audience. So again, as a podcaster, you want to give the same respect to that individual. You want to have them feel that you're going to share that episode with your audience. But again, they want to make sure that what you are doing is aligned to where they are trying to go. It's a collaboration. It's not about you as a podcaster, them as a guest. It's a collaborative, aligned effort to move everybody forward together. And I call that a victory mindset.
Such great advice. I hope everybody's listening. It's so true. So, Marcus, last question. If you could go back to the younger version of you and you could give him some advice on, even if you didn't give him all the details of the setbacks were coming, what mindset would you send him out the door with? And what would you whisper in his ear?
Learn to be an active listener, not a busy talker. When you're talking, you can't listen. As a leader, if people don't feel that you're hearing them and trying to hear them to understand them, not just hear them to respond to them, they are going to eventually say, I'm going to stop talking to you because what I'm telling you, you're not listening or understanding anyway. So I'm done. And that's how I lost our company. Right, Kelly? People stopped talking to me. I stopped getting insight. I stopped getting information and things got out of line. I was blowing through money. And next thing you know, it implodes. So I would tell my younger self, be an active listener, not a busy, arrogant, egotistical talker.
Oh, that is powerful advice. And I so appreciate it that we close out this episode with that, because being a listener is a skill that most people don't have. Being an active listener, they don't. I love it that you shared that. If you want to be successful in sales, you better be a good listener. It's more important than being a great talker. It really is. I love it that you shared that. And showing us the journey of how that played out for you is really powerful. I mean, you are one of the guys that people would think, my God, he had it all. He had it all. And I love the story of having it all, losing it all, and getting it all right back again. Only better, more appreciated, and giving back. I mean, that's what it's all about. So I want to thank you so much for pulling the curtain back on how important it is to be real and raw. And you are refreshingly unfiltered, I'll tell you, about your story, which I think is amazing. I feel like you didn't just come share expertise. You gave us a masterclass in grit and growth and what it actually takes to lead from the inside out. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you all for having me, Kelly. I really appreciate it.
It was way too much fun. I hope you'll come back again. I got so much out of this, and one of my favorite, I know this is small, but it's big. Ego is exaggerated, overrated opinions. I don't think I'll ever forget that. What a great description of ego. That's just terrific.
Thank you so much. Thanks,
everybody,
Kelly.
If you want to go deeper with Marcus and you want to start working on your own inner game, check out his community over at www.school.com. And that's SKOOL.com/inner-game-community. I will make sure that all of this is in the show notes wherever you listen to your podcast, or go to the sixfigurespeakerspotlight.com, find the episode, and all the notes will be there with all of the ways to get in touch with Marcus. Whether you're a speaker or a leader, or you're building something bold from scratch, This is where strategy meets mindset and clarity meets accountability. I love that Mark has put such a focus on accountability right from the get-go. It's something that you can see when it's missing. I think you're seeing that all over the place right now, that it's not going to work without it. So you made a beautiful point of that, Marcus.
Thank you, Kelly.
All right, everybody, public speaking. It isn't just part of Marcus's business. It amplified everything he does. It's the reason that his message hits harder, his brand travels farther, and his impact keeps growing. That's the kind of energy we want for you too. So if today's episode hit home for you, please share it. Help us get the word out there. Give me your comments. I love to hear what you have to say. It's how we keep the show growing. And honestly, I love hearing your stories. And we're here to spotlight how powerful public speaking can be. It's not just for the stage, but for your business, your message, and the movement you're building. So if you're waiting to step up, maybe this episode was your moment. Get on board and check out Marcus Ogden. He is a leader. And with that said, as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you later, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to the Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.